Hello, beautiful listeners. It's been a little while since I've done a ramble fap, and to celebrate another follower milestone, which still just blows my mind, 5,000 followers, I thought I was overdue for one. I'm trying something a little different this time, a concept introduced to me by a secret beast. /a secret beast, blessed script writer responsible for the Wish You Were Here series, and and other series that I've filled as well. You might be familiar with them. Introduced me to this concept of hysterical literature, and it's basically, it was an experiment run online where women were chose to read from a book or a text whilst masturbating with a magic wand for reaching 5,000 followers. I thought I would do something similar. I asked for suggestions on what to read, and I have chosen to read today from a book. I was suggested the sequel to this book, or the next in series of this book, but I chose the first of it, The Subtle Art of Not Giving a Fuck. And the irony is not lost on me. So basically, I am going to hold my new toy. For those of you who may have seen it, it is the Wii Vibe wand. And see how much of this text I can get through before things become a little incoherent. Strap in. You need to know I've been recording most of the day. I think I've done 4 audios today. And a little bit bent up. Okay. Charles Cabell's... it's not a good start. Here we go. Charles Bukowski was an alcoholic, a womanizer, a chronic gambler, a lout, a cheapskate, a deadbeat, and on his worst days, a poet. He's probably the last person on earth you would ever look to for life advice or expect to see in any sort of self-help book, which is why he's the perfect place to start. Bukowski wanted to be a writer, but for decades his work was rejected by almost every magazine, newspaper, journal, agent, and publisher he submitted to. His work was horrible, they said. Crude, disgusting, depraved. And as the stacks of rejection slips piled up, the weight of his failures pushed him deep into an alcohol-fueled depression that would follow him for most of his life. Bukowski had a day job as a letter filer at a post office. He got paid shit money and spent most of it on booze. He gambled away the rest at the racetrack. At night, he would drink alone and sometimes hammer out poetry on his beat-up old typewriter. Often, he'd wake up on the floor, having passed out the night before. 30 years went by like this, most of it a meaningless blur of alcohol, drugs, gambling, and prostitutes. Then, when Bukowski was 50, after a lifetime of failure and self-loathing, an editor at a small independent publishing house took a strange interest in him. The editor couldn't offer Bukowski much money or much promise of sales, but he had a weird affection for the drunk loser, so he decided to take a chance on him. It was the first real shot Bukowski had ever gotten, and he realised, probably the only one he would ever get. Bukowski wrote back to the editor, "I have one of two choices, stay in the post office and go crazy, or stay out here and play at writer and starve. I've decided to starve." Upon signing the contract, Bukowski wrote his first novel in 3 weeks. It was simply called Post Office. In the dedication, he wrote, "Dedicated to nobody." Bukowski would make it as a novelist and poet. He would go on and publish 6 novels and hundreds of poems, selling over 2 million copies of his books. His popularity defied everyone's expectations, particularly his own. Stories like Bukowski's are the bread and butter of our cultural narrative. Bukowski's life embodies the American dream. A man fights for what he wants, never gives up, and eventually achieves his wildest dreams. It's practically a movie waiting to happen. We all look at stories like Bukowski's and say, see, he never gave up. He never stopped trying. He always believed in himself. He persisted against all the odds and made something of himself. It is then strange that on Bukowski's tombstone, the epitaph reads, "Don't try." See, despite the book sales and the fame, Bukowski was a loser. He knew it, and his success stemmed not from some determination to be a winner, but from the fact that he knew he was a loser. He accepted it, and then wrote honestly about it. He never tried to be anything other than what he was. The genius in Bukowski's work was not in overcoming unbelievable odds or developing himself into a shining literary light. It was the opposite. It was his simple ability to be completely, unflinchingly honest with himself, especially the worst parts of himself, and to share his failings without hesitation or doubt. This is the real story of Bukowski's success, his comfort with himself as a failure. Bukowski didn't give a fuck about success. Even after his fame, he still showed up to poetry readings, hammered and verbally abused people in his audience. He still exposed himself in public and tried to sleep with every woman he could find. Fame and success didn't make him a better person, nor was it by becoming a better person that he became famous and successful. Self-improvement and success often occur together, but that doesn't necessarily mean they're the same thing. Our culture today is obsessively focused on unrealistically positive expectations. Be happier, be healthier, be the best, better than the rest, be smarter, faster, richer, sexier, more popular, more productive, and more envied and more admired. Be perfect and amazing and crap out 12 carat gold nuggets before breakfast each morning while kissing your selfie-ready spouse and 2.5 kids goodbye. Then fly your helicopter to your wonderfully fulfilling job where you spend your days doing incredibly meaningful work that's likely to save the planet one day. But when you stop and really think about it, conventional life advice, all the positive and happy self-help stuff we hear all the time, is actually fixating on what you lack. It lasers in on what you perceive your personal shortcomings and failures to already be, and then emphasizes them for you. You learn about the best ways to make money because you feel you don't have enough money already. You stand in front of the mirror and repeat affirmations saying that you're beautiful because you feel as though you're not beautiful already. You follow dating and relationship advice because you feel that you're unlovable already. You try goofy visualization exercises about being more successful because you feel as though you aren't successful enough already. Ironically, this fixation on the positive, on what's better, what's superior, only serves to remind us over and over again of what we are not, of what we lack, of what we should have, what we should have been but failed to be. Oh God. After all, no truly happy person feels the need to stand in front of a mirror and recite that she's happy. She just is. Oh, God. There's a saying in Texas, the smallest dog barks the loudest. A confident man doesn't feel a need to prove that he's confident. A rich woman doesn't feel a need to convince anybody that she's rich. Either you are or you are not. And if you're dreaming of something all the time, then you're reinforcing the same unconscious reality over and over that you are not that. Oh, boy. Everyone in their TV commercial wants you to believe that the key to a good life is a nicer job or a more rugged car or a prettier girlfriend or a hot tub with an inflatable pool for the kids. The world is constantly telling you that the path to a better life is more, 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 buy more, own more, make more, fuck more, be more. You are constantly bombarded with messages to give a fuck about everything all the time. Give a fuck about a new TV. Give a fuck about having a better vacation than your co-workers. Give a fuck about buying that new lawn ornament. Oh, give a fuck about having the right kind of selfie stick. Oh, why? My guess. Because giving a fuck about more stuff is good for business. And while there's nothing wrong with good business, the problem is that giving too many fucks is bad for your mental health. It causes you to become overly attached to the superficial and fake, to dedicate your life to chasing a mirage of happiness and satisfaction. The key to a good life is not giving a fuck about more. It's giving a fuck about less. Giving a fuck about what is true and immediate. And important and what's right. What's right. Oh, God. Turn it down. Fuck. Oh, God damn it. Oh, God. Oh, God. Sorry. I don't know if that got too loud. I know I have a habit of getting loud. Do I have a door to my... I need to open. Because it gets loud. And if it's open, I need to go. Oh, God. What a. As I am wont to say, thank you, ball boys. Thank you, linesmen. Ooh. Okay, well, there you have it, folks. That's my first venture into hysterical literature. If you haven't looked it up, look it up. I will put a link to this post. Body. That was good. It was. Maybe you learnt something too. No. I wasn't exactly focused. That's all good fun, right? Thanks for listening.